Life support is nominal. The oxygen danger indicator level is yellow. Please remember that this is a non-smoking pirate ship.
Hey, hey, everybody. Welcome to GameIndustry.com's The Gin Lounge. It's E3 week, and I am John Breeden, your host for this episode of the show, where we'll be talking about the big three conferences from Los Angeles. Although I suppose you could say only two of the conferences were actually from Los Angeles. The Nintendo one was like filmed from in a secret claymation bunker somewhere. But Shella, welcome to the lounge.
Thanks
today.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So E3 week, always a busy time. Our reporter, Lisa Campos, is going around and doing hundreds of meetings this week and trying to get us all the great stuff from the show. So it'll be interesting to see what she finds. She's actually meeting with a lot of the developers and the publishers and things. Shella and I today are going to talk about the big conferences, Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo. So, Shella, you got to see them. So let's just do them in the order that they were set up.
Okay.
The Nintendo one obviously wasn't live because it was like done with claymation and stuff. So, but that one was third. But let's start with Microsoft because they started off the show. So, what was your general impression on Microsoft? Microsoft came in this year and said, you know what? Last year we talked about Google Glass and all this craziness and stuff, and so this year it's all games. What did you think about
that?
Yeah,
it was basically all games and no talk. I couldn't believe it. It was just like game after game after game after game. It was, I think, a massive slice of humble pie for Microsoft. They were tucking into it good and proper. They had some nice stuff there. I mean, I think what you can take generally from both of the Sony and Microsoft conferences is that, you know, the days of exclusives is almost over. You know, they're almost over those days because
you're totally right. There's a few hangers on, like Uncharted is going to be always a Sony thing.
Halo,
And Halo's an Xbox thing, but being outside of that,
there's this new term, which is, what is it, console release exclusive or something? It's like first console exclusive or something. There's like some new term, which basically means it's going to be there like a day earlier on some console or the other, depending on what, golden handshakes have been done under certain tables.
That's one thing. I was talking to Todd Hargosh, your fellow columnist, and he is really pissed off about that particular aspect of it. Not so much the timed one, but the what Microsoft usually does is they get the timed release where they get extra content or something, or they get the game a few days early or something like that. What Sony does, though, is, and what Sony did with Watch Dogs, for instance, and you know, your Watch Dogs review ran this week, excellent take on Watch Dogs, was there were extra missions that were in Watch Dogs, and that's what Sony does, and usually those Sony exclusives don't ever make it over, you know, those are exclusive just to that platform.
Yeah.
So if you want to play the extra missions or you want to get the extra little hat, you've got to get the Sony thing.
That's
about as far as we go with exclusives.
Yeah, that's about as far as it goes, pretty much. Yeah, I mean, I have to say, in terms of those minor exclusives, Sony still does, obviously has more clout in the boardroom and striking those deals, because some of their exclusives were slightly better in that respect. But in terms of the games, first out was Call of Duty Advanced Warfare. I did kind of groan internally. It's like, oh god, they had to go with Call of Duty, didn't they? But it does look really nice. The gorgeous embers just like floating around, and the fire effects looked amazing, and there was just so much going on the screen, all the kind of digital the sort of monitors and advertisements, and it looked like it was in Korea or something. Where was it supposed to be?
I'm not sure. I kind of zoned out when that came up too. But yeah, I mean, it was Call of Duty. I mean, I think, you know, talk about humble pie. I think the Call of Duty franchise kind of took a hit. I mean, yeah, their last game was like, you know, sold a billion copies or whatever, but it wasn't as popular as the previous ones, you know? I think they needed to get back to their roots too, and so it looks like they're kind of doing that with the Advanced Warfare.
And it looked pretty nice, I thought, for you know, because like I say, not a COD fan, but and then it went from COD to Fours of Five, which yawnsville, but you know, obviously some people are into their cars and stuff. What stood out for me was Ubisoft with Assassin's Creed Unity.
Yeah, another multi-platform
title.
I know,
there were lots. But it's like, is there any such thing as single player anymore?
Yeah, Unity, I don't know, that trailer was kind of gross. You kind of see it through the guy you kill's eyes.
Yeah, that was a bit weird.
And then his head's on a pike and stuff, and it's like, that would not happen at the Nintendo conference.
But I thought it looked really great, and I thought it was a great setting. It looked like a bit of, I wrote back to form after Pirates. I know everyone loved Pirates, but, you know, at least you were, like, on a rooftop and they were actually assassinating people. It's like, that's what I want to see from my Assassin's Creed.
It's kind of funny. I tell you, I did love the pirate diversion. Yeah. I just loved that ship combat and all that. But you're right. It was an Assassin's Creed game. They could have made that a separate game and called it, you know, Pirates. Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, they could have had a whole new series going.
So, but they, it did look cool, and it looked like it was heavily multiplayer too, because four assassins were apparently being played by different people, you know, in the thing.
Yeah,
so
that was pretty nice the way that worked.
If you can find three confident people to work with you know you'll team up with someone, and you know, Larry's an idiot, you know, he's running throwing his blades around and you're trying to sneak over the roof or something, you know?
Just jumping up and down. Stop.
Well, that's what you and I have to play together or something. So, but and then they did have some exclusives. I thought the and this last year I had no interest in Sunset Overdrive from Insomniac Games, but this year it looked really good, and they had an actual playable demo, and I like the style where the monsters blow up and they go like poof and pow.
It reminded me of Bulletstorm.
I was thinking that too.
I loved Bulletstorm,
it looked like sort of Bulletstorm. It also looked like a little bit of that PlayStation game, Second Son.
Yeah, Infamous.
Where you're kind of sliding on wires and stuff like that.
It was like a cross between those, and it was just like kind of irreverent. It was poking fun at games, wasn't it? It was, you know, it was like, because it started out looking like COD, it was just like a bunch of army guys hiding behind crates, and then he came in and he's like, there you go, you and your crates are safe now. And he walks out onto the rooftop and that was awesome.
Yeah, he was like, oh, good use of the cover mechanic there, Green. And that was pretty funny. And I'll say, you know, Todd, our hardcore gamer, he had the same mindset last year. He was like, Sunset Overdrive looks kind of lame. They didn't really show much last year, but this, now he's like, I want to review it. Oh, it's mine. So, there you go. So Microsoft won over, I think, probably quite a few people with the Sunset Overdrive look.
That's good.
And then, of course, we knew this was coming. Of course, you know, a lot of their games are like 2015. I mean, Sony did the same thing, which was kind of depressing. You know, if you've just bought a PlayStation 4, like, well, when am I going to get some games? Yeah. You know, we'll wait a year. But Fable Legends, also 2015 game. But man, I really like that.
It looks good, didn't it? Looks really nice.
It was a good mix of what I liked about it. It was a good mix of hardcore. Mm-hmm. I mean, it had all the gaming elements, you know, that you have to have. But it also was kind of like you say, it was funny and irreverent. Right. And I don't know if the real game, when you're actually playing with people, if the characters will make little funny comments like that.
Yeah, see, I was wondering that. It was weird because there were a couple of games like that at both of the conferences where it went into multiplayer, but there were these kind of quips going on. It's like, is that the player or is it the cat? It's like, how does that work? How is everybody's like scripted really funny? It's like, do we get to download a script where we're just like naturally witty?
Yeah, you're like, hey, my character just got smashed by the troll and she didn't say anything.
Yeah, right. I want the one-liner.
I wanted her to call for a medic or something, yeah. You know? Nothing happened. So I don't know. I mean, that'll yet to be seen. I mean, it's not unheard of that a demo at E3 would be slightly rigged to make a game better than it actually is. But even when they weren't playing, you know, the Fable Legends just looked really beautiful. It almost looked kind of like a cartoony style version of Skyrim. I mean, with the graphics and stuff in the town and everything.
Yeah,
I
like if Tim Burton did World of Warcraft or something.
Yeah, perfect. Now that's a crazy thought. And then of course Halo, of course another 2015 title, but Halo 5 Guardians looked really good.
Nice.
The Master Chief Collection, obviously, you know, is something that, you know, I mean, in, on the one hand, it's just basically reworked old games, but on the other hand, I believe Halo 2 multiplayer was probably the most popular multiplayer they've ever had.
Yeah, so I suppose lots of people will be really pleased about that, and wow, how gorgeous have they made it look. It looked really nice.
We're up to the whole red versus blue again. That'll be fun to see at 60 frames per second and 1080p. Oh, another thing, I think if you could, so Microsoft's theme was like games, but I think the secondary theme, if you had to name a secondary theme, it was 1080p. I mean, they mentioned that like 1,000 times because their consoles had trouble getting games to run at 1080p. So everything was like running at 1080p, people would applaud, you know, when they said that. I'm like, it's kind of should be a given, you know, that it runs at the highest resolution, but at least they are now. So what did you think about the ID at Xbox program? Because I know that you've been a harsh critic of, well, as harsh as you get. You've been a fairly harsh critic of Microsoft not really supporting the indie developers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, unlike Sony, they didn't throw indie developers up on the stage, but they did, you know, say they had a program for it, and they mentioned a few games, Slow Dash, Frew, Lovers in a Dangerous Space Time and stuff that they're apparently now supporting, you know, by free developer kits and things like that. What was your indie radar thinking about that?
There were lots of nice little games because they had that kind of montage, didn't they, of games just flashing up. And I mean, I had to just like keep writing names really quickly. There were so many nice looking, there was so much nice looking stuff. There was one called White Knight, which looked amazing. Cuphead, Lifeless Planet, looked really cool as well.
I've actually been playing Lifeless Planet. I'm reviewing it. It's on the PC already.
Is it?
It's a PC game. It's on Steam. It just came out this week, actually.
Cool.
Well, it was in beta, but they made it a full game this week. So I'm playing it on Steam, and I'll be writing a review of it. It's kind of neat. You're an astronaut.
Yeah.
You're an American astronaut, and you land on this planet really far away. It kind of looks like Mars, but it's far away. And you have to wear your spacesuit because there's no oxygen. So and every now and then you have to find sources of oxygen or you'll suffocate. But you show up and it's like this desert, you know, like typical what you think of abandoned planet. And then all of a sudden you're like you walk into like this western town, like a ghost town. And at first you think that the guys at NASA are screwing with you, like, you know, like you weren't really in space, you know. And hypersleep. No, but it turns out the Russians got there first and colonized this whole place and then all died off from some mysterious reason. So you're like, wow, what the heck is going on? So it's like a mystery and it's cool. It is really good. So anyway, Lifeless Planet
should be able to play that and don't need to buy an Xbox then. Hooray.
You could, we could get you this.
And then there was another one called Wolf, which looked like a sort of gothic Red Riding Hood type thing.
Oh no, one of those.
Yeah,
huh?
It looked really nice though. White Knight looked really nice. It was just black and white, really stark kind of cell shaded, kind of Sin City, sort of noirish, which looked cool. Mm-hmm. And then there was Ori and the Blind Forest. Did you see that one?
No, I missed that one. What was that about?
It was just a trailer, so you didn't really get a clear idea what it was about, but it was kind of like, I've put written down, part Miyazaki meets Last Guardian. So there was this kind of, it's a very dark world, and it's kind of, again, it's got a kind of cel-shaded effect to it, and it's just this little dragon type character sort of that goes through the darkness, but it's quite a bright white character, so it's like a light in the darkness. And yeah, it's just like a weird one of those weird arty ones that I like, that's a bit like a Japanese kind of, you know, like a Miyazaki sort of Totoro type characters going around that are sort of don't speak but do everything kind of through mime and just sort of great animation to convey emotion. It just looks really kind of like it has lots of pathos, and yeah, looks nice. Really nice.
Well, you really did pay attention to the indie yeah. sections. Yeah.
And then, that was and really then cool. There was Inside by the guys who did Limbo. Remember Limbo? Mm-hmm.
Oh, is that the one with sort of people walking around kind of like half zombies in the back? And
like real sort of Kafka-esque puzzler. That's what I've written for that one.
Yeah, when the light shined on you, you have to kind of, you either have to stay out of the light or you have to act like one of the little worker zombies when it lights.
So cool.
And I thought the same thing. I thought Limbo. It looks like Limbo, you know, but you know, better graphics and a different, sort of a different mechanic.
Yeah.
But that should be a fun one, I hope.
And then what else? There was the new Tomb Raider as well, like off the indie thing, unless you've got more indie ones that you would.
No, you covered that. So, so the new Tomb Raider, I know you're, the last Tomb Raider game was really awesome. So this one's kind of building on that, I guess.
Yeah, cause I was just like, who's that? And I was like, oh God, it's not another Beyond Two Souls, is it? Cause my heart quailed for a second, but I forgot it was Xbox. I was like, oh, good grief, what's this? And then I was like, oh, those bee-stung lips look familiar. Because she was hooded, wasn't she? She was wearing a hoodie and she was in therapy. I just thought that was great premise for, it looked really good. And she was actually in a tomb. It's like, dun, 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 Tomb Raider enters a tomb.
That
was like 1989.
That's true. Yeah, we haven't seen a tomb in a while from Tomb Raider. I thought Microsoft did what it had to do. I mean, basically they had to come in. You know, you had Phil Spencer, the new president, who basically came in and was like, you know, all but said, you know, my predecessor was a moron and, you know, he's gone now. And so this is the new Xbox and this is the games, and we're going to talk about games. And they did. So, you know, I don't think they could have done anything else. And so good for them. They did what they had to do, and we'll see how that changes things. But there's certainly a lot of neat stuff coming out.
Yeah. But I mean, there were lots of nice trailers, but not that many of them were exclusives.
The only one that comes to mind was Scalebound, which was from Platinum Games, which are the guys that made Bayonetta, where it was like the guy and the dragon.
Oh,
and,
God.
And
then, I just...
well, you know, Bayonetta. And then they're also making a sequel to Crackdown, which people seem to really like that game. So we'll see, but it looks like, you know, Microsoft had their S together this year. So.
And the Division looked nice as well.
Yeah, the Division, again, another multi-platform title. But you know, looks good if they ever come out with it. It's already been pushed back once to 2015. I think it was one of those ones that was supposed to be out this year, and you know, that's just not going to happen. So, but that looks like one that a lot of people are interested in. All right. Switching gears over to Sony, speaking of multi-platform titles, so it started out with the Destiny trailer, And I was like, what is this? This game looks freaking amazing. And then I'm like, oh, it's Destiny. Well, I'm like, that's coming out for everybody. I don't know why. But the one thing was about that, and they didn't really push this, but if you submit, if you're a PlayStation 4 gamer and you go to the website and you submit your gamer tag or whatever it's called, your PlayStation ID name, which I've done.
You get Alpha, don't you?
You can play Destiny for 3 days this weekend. So, I mean, that's
pretty nice.
If I get chosen, fingers crossed, I'll have more than one game for my PlayStation 4 for 3 days. But, yeah, so that'll be neat to see. So that's kind of a neat exclusive, you know, being able to jump in and play, because I am interested in Destiny, and if I can try it out for free, that will be nice.
I just think it looks boring. That's what I've written. Yeah, I just wrote boring.
Well, I will let you know, assuming they pick me. So, and then they went, and then they kind of got rolling. I thought Little Big Planet people really seemed to love watching that Little Big Planet demo.
Yeah, they really did.
The new characters were neat. You know, Oddsock was cool. He can change his weight and size. Swoop. I want to play Swoop because being able to fly in that freaking game, I don't know how they got a character like Swoop in there without breaking the game because he can just fly over everything. I mean, if they have a specific level that, like, you know, you can't fly because there's a wall here, but a lot of the old levels, which you're apparently supposed to be going back and play, I mean, Swoop could just fly over them.
You could just sweep through that lot. Yeah.
But it looked like the presenters were having fun a little bit. So, and it certainly looked nice.
It's a cute title.
And then Project Beast finally got unveiled, which is actually called Bloodborne now. Although the guy that this is so freaking funny because I was watching people, you know, were talking about it, and when the guy introduced Bloodborne, I swear I thought he said blood porn, and everybody else did. And then I'm watching it and I'm like, did he say blood porn? Because it really fits. But apparently it was Bloodborne, and but everybody was calling it blood porn online. They were like, "Yeah, blood porn looked really good," you know. But so I don't know if it's kind of like I mean, it's the guy that made Demon Souls and Dark Souls, so I don't know. I assume it'll
grim were my keywords for that one.
I assume it'll, if it's like Dark Souls, it'll be a really dark world, and you'll be able to be one shot killed by every monster that you run across.
Yeah, avoid. I won't be going there. But The Order 1886. There was quite a long trailer for that, wasn't there?
That's another one that got pushed back 2015 on that one, which sucks.
Yeah, I'm getting less and less enthralled by that the more I see of it. Because I thought it was such a cool idea, and it just seems to be like, I don't know, just your average kind of shooter adventure, but just with like some chainmail thrown on for decoration.
You know, I was kind of thinking that too. I was in the back of my mind. I was kind of like, you know, at first I kind of thought it would be sort of maybe like a Call of Cthulhu sort of, you know, Lovecraft theme. But I don't know now. And now it might just be look, I have a medieval machine gun.
Exactly. It was just like sort of, all this gunplay. And it's like, but why have you got chainmail? What? It's like, that doesn't make much sense.
Yeah, I don't know, but I don't know if Sony's starting to downplay it. I mean, it did have the trailer, but they didn't really do a whole lot with it compared to some of the other stuff. And then we got to see Far Cry 4, which I loved Far Cry 3. I mean, the whole open world, you know, crazy, letting animals out of cages so they can eat people and stuff, you know. And it's
gorgeous. It looked amazing. I might even play that because it looks nice. It looks so nice. A beautiful kind of, I guess, like Nepal or Tibet or somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, well, the company's called Cryat, which is fictitious, but they should have just called it Tibet because that's what it looks like. I mean, they even have the spirit flags and everything. Yeah. everywhere. So, but yeah, I love how in Far Cry 3, like, you know, there were all these, like, I guess they were pirates, and but they were, you know, it was the same type of gameplay. There was, you know, they owned a zone, and you had to take over the base for the good guys or whatever. So it was the same type of thing, but and it looked like some of the same mechanics, even where, like, for some reason, like in Far Cry 3, the bad guys, they would always take these, like, man-eating tigers and put them in cages around their base. Mm-hmm. So if you used a sniper rifle, you could shoot the lock off, and then the tigers would run out and eat everybody. So it looked like the same type of thing, but with, like, elephants. but cool. One of the features that I thought was really innovative, which I don't know how they're going to do this, is if you have a PlayStation, I think it was a PlayStation 4, but it might work with the PlayStation 3 too. I'm not sure, but like,
I think it was,
if you have
both, because they didn't stipulate PS4. Yeah,
okay, well, you invite your friend, anyone who's on your friend list, you can invite them to come play a level with you, and even if they don't own the game, they're supposed to be able
That's
to come
amazing.
In and yeah, how are they
but
doing that? I don't know. They just brushed over it. They're like, and you, if your friend is on, you invite them to play, and they come in and play Far Cry 4 with you.
Even if they don't own the game.
Even if they don't own the game, you know, and I don't know how they're going to do that, but that's going to be pretty amazing
cool.
if they're able to pull it off. So that's definitely a neat feature. So, and then they made a big deal about Grim Fandango, which I guess has a cult following. We reviewed that game like a million years ago, and it got like a 2 or a 3 or something. So you're a big fan, I guess.
I was talking about it just on at the weekend with Dave T. We were talking about Grim Fandango and how ace it is.
Oh my gosh! Well, you're going to be able to play it.
I was just like, wow! I can't believe they brought that. Brilliant.
And here's my point. Some people are really excited about it. I guess you count among them. So
yeah, I thought that was cool.
Okay. All right. Well, awesome. I at the time I was playing a lot of point and click adventures because that was the thing then. You know, that was, and I don't know. I didn't like the logic of that one. I mean, that's one of the ones where it's like, you know, you have a bucket of water, but you can't put out a fire with it. You got to go squeeze a mango or something.
Okay,
you know.
Yeah.
That's what I didn't like about Grim Fandango.
Right. Yeah.
But the music is cool. I actually have the soundtrack for it. I have it on CD. Yeah, the music was like a sort of jazzy theme.
Oh, yeah,
it was cool.
I remember that,
So, anyway, well, it's back. If for those of you that were excited by it, and apparently there's a lot of it, it'll be out there.
And then there was Entwined was one of the most interesting things, I think, to come out of the Sony.
Yeah, and it was all about the guys who made Entwined were like, had just graduated from college or something. Wow.
Really nice. And it basically looks like I've put Res style with origami. That's what I've put. Kind of. These are my notes on little post-it notes. And you operate two characters at once. It looks cool.
Uh-huh. And you go through nine different lives trying to build a dragon or something.
Yeah,
so
they
kind of
evolve, which is pretty much how Res worked, the original Res. It's like as you went from a ball and then you evolved up into, you know, a person and got cooler powers and stuff. So it looks quite similar, but really gorgeous looking.
And then the guys that made Journey showed off Abzu, A-B-Z-U, which is their sort of underwater adventure game. So that looked kind of neat. And then... And then they went into, again, these are all indie titles, and then they went into, Hello Games' No Man's Sky, which again started underwater, so I thought we were still watching Abzu there for a second, but No Man's Sky, I don't know much about it, but just the way they described it, I mean, the world is apparently procedurally generated, so... The developers don't really know what's out there, and every single player starts on their own planet.
Oh my god! It just blew my mind. I cannot wait for that. It looks awesome.
You get to like discover like inland seas and dinosaurs and creatures and plants and stuff on your planet that no one else has ever seen.
I know, and I just love the styling of it. That it looked like a sort of the cover of the painted cover of a 70s sci-fi, like a Michael Moorcock cover or something like that.
Well, that's what he was going for. He wanted to feel that way.
The skies are like purple and the trees are teal. And it was just, oh my God, it looked so amazing. It's so beautiful. I'm just something different.
Yeah. I mean, and how cool is it to be on your own planet to go around and be like,
I know, and just nobody gets the same experience. I mean, it's going to be incredible.
And then the one thing they didn't explain though was, so then you get into your spaceship and you go up and there's all this like space combat and stuff. Like, I didn't get, were you shooting other players or is there like an NPC that's like evil or something? I don't know. So, but it certainly is an interesting concept. I mean, spaceships, which the spaceships looked very, very, Star Wars-y
kind
too,
of,
but
it was, retro chic, wasn't it? It was really cool. Loved the styling. And
spaceships, dinosaurs, you know, what open world, the huge universe. What more could you ask for? And from an indie title.
Great. Yeah, really good stuff.
So very cool. And then they started talking about some stuff other than games, which was cool, I guess. I think that, you know, the audience at E3 wants games, and I think the more Sony strayed away from games, the more that they lost their audience somewhat. That said, the TV, the Sony TV looked pretty cool for $99.
Yeah.
You're able to stream 1,000 PlayStation 3 games somehow.
Yeah.
Again, another little bit of magic. and then they briefly talked about Project Morpheus, the and I don't know if VR is the next 3D, you know, the thing that everybody has to have.
Or the next white elephant.
Yeah, the next thing we have to have that we don't want, you know. But I don't know. I think if it's done right, I would certainly be interested in VR. I think it's a cool concept. I don't know if a PlayStation 4 has enough horsepower to drive a VR headset. Yeah. But again, if they can make it work, I'm interested.
And then there's the TV stuff.
Yeah, the TV show. Powers. Oh God, Powers. Yeah. That was. You know, again, I have zero interest in it, but again, it's probably one of those things where people, apparently there's a lot of fans of that particular comic book.
I thought that was cool.
Again, there you go.
I am their key market.
So you were excited and you're going to watch the TV show.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
and if you're a PlayStation Plus member, you can watch it for free. You don't have to buy the episode.
Cool.
So, very nice little bonus there if you're a PlayStation Plus member. So, give you reason to fork over your $4 every month, I guess. So that's cool. And it was cool that they had the guy who created the show, that created the graphic
Bendis
novel
was there.
That was kind of cool. He was kind of dressed like a little bit of a Dick Tracy villain himself, I guess.
I thought he looked like Kingpin.
Yeah, exactly. I was like,
I
love
that. His brown pinstripe three-piece.
I was thinking the Penguin from Batman. I was like, he's dressed like a villain from his thing. That's cool.
Yeah.
But and then I think they got back to games at the end of their thing.
Yeah. I mean, the only person that surely knows what was going on in that trailer was Todd. I mean, what the hell? People were losing limbs left, right, and center. I was just like, what's going on? It was just like classic MGS, just nonsense.
And then for some reason Rockstar let Sony make the announcement that Grand Theft Auto 5 was coming to PlayStation 4. Of course they didn't mention that it's also coming to Xbox One and the PC, which is probably the PC especially the big news because PC gamers have been begging for it, but that'll be cool. I mean it's the easiest $1 billion that 2K will ever make, you know, just porting that game over to the new platform. But you know, I hope they add new content or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the old games had new content. You know, they had Liberty City missions and stuff. So I'm hoping GTA 5 comes out with, you know, I don't play it online, so I'm not really interested in the GTA 5 online. But I would like to have some single player content for GTA 5 to expand the experience.
Yeah.
I'd like to play a new character or, you know, something.
Yeah.
So hopefully that'll come with the new releases. And then Uncharted 4, A Thief's End, which everybody's saying means the end of Drake.
Yeah, I mean, and it looked amazing. looked really nice. Yeah, that was a nice little trailer. And then there was the Suda 51 game. Did you see that one? Let it die. It was just like a death-a-thon, basically. It was. I mean, ooh.
Wow, Shella, you got jets flying over your house.
I know.
Wow. So yeah, I like that one too. So I think, you know, Microsoft and Sony, I think they both did a decent job at the. They came in with vastly different goals, and I think both of them achieved what they wanted.
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
Sony basically wanted to expand its market, you know, and I think they showed you a couple ways that they did, and Microsoft wanted to prove they remembered that they are a game company, you know, at least in terms of Xbox and stuff. So there you go. I think they both did a good job. And then Nintendo, of course, Nintendo does what Nintendo does. They weren't at the show. They didn't actually, but they had a claymation press conference.
Yeah.
So, and you like that?
I did, because I was just like, oh, okay, this is going to be some boring talking heads thing, just some people like yammering on about Mario and Zelda and stuff. And I was just like, I thought it was really playful and cute, and it just said Nintendo all over it, and it kind of reinforced the fact that Nintendo really understands play and what games are all about, and that they do things their own way. And I think it presented them as having a sense of self-confidence in what they're doing, you know, whilst everybody's kind of doubting them. That's what I got from it. And I think there were some really, really nice games. I mean, Yoshi's Woolly World. I've just drawn a smiley face next to that title when I noted it down. Because, I mean, it just looked gorgeous. It was so cute. It had all the little lovely Nintendo sounds that just make you happy. You know, like everything in the world is knitted and made out of balls of yarn, and when you walk across like a rope bridge, it's like a knitted rope bridge, and just the animation on it is like a knitted bridge would be, and it was just lovely. And and then there was Mario Maker, where you can create your own Mario levels.
Awesome. Well, because how many of us have played a Mario game and said, oh, wouldn't it be cool if the level did this and this and this? Make it.
Exactly. I mean, I just think that's brilliant. And then I thought Splatoon looked really nice and quite innovative as well. And
yeah, now you and I had a different take on Splatoon. I mean, I think the game looks neat, but I think personally what Nintendo wanted to do was to be able to have a shooter that wasn't, you know, bloody. And I think that's what they're doing with Splatoon. Now, you think it's just, you know, them doing their own thing. But in any case, it looks neat.
Yeah. Well, because I don't think they're afraid of violence, are they? They're not, you know, they've always had Resident Evil games on their consoles. And, I don't think they're scared of that at all. But I just didn't, it didn't seem like a shooter to me, because you're like using a paint roller to paint paths and things like that. And, you know, it's like, how many shooters use that? You know, it was just like a really fun kind of, and it had the three guys, the three developers just chatting away. And it was just, and you know, how they came up with it whilst they were just hanging out. And then they were like, hey, but what if this? And hey, what if that? And it just, seemed like it evolved out of a sense of fun and play. That's just, you know, those were like absolutely the key words of that little digital conference or whatever they called it.
No, absolutely. Now, I will say that we'll talk about Akimbo, but I think for me, there was one game that they showed, and again, unfortunately, it's not out until 2015, that would make me possibly buy a Wii U console, and that was The Legend of Zelda. What an amazing thing that
looked
like.
Yeah, it looks gorgeous, isn't it?
I mean, it looked like, again, sort of a stylized version of Skyrim.
I think that's doing it a massive disservice.
Oh, yeah, really?
Because, I mean, Zelda's got way more heritage than Skyrim. And, you know, it's been doing that sort of whimsical kind of grand scale world for donkey's years, and Skyrim's just a pretender to that crown. So no, I don't think they're even thinking about that. It just is, you know, just another evolution of the Zelda series, and it looks gorgeous, and it looks like a next gen Zelda. You know, yeah. It looked fantastic, didn't it?
I wonder why they waited so long to, well, I mean, they did come out with some Zelda games that were, I don't know, not as well received as I think they thought they were. So maybe this will make the Zelda fans really happy. I can't imagine, unless the gameplay's terrible, that they wouldn't like it.
No, because yeah, it was all about going back to the heritage of Zelda, wasn't it? The presentation was, you know, about all the things of the past Zeldas that worked really well, and mm-hmm. you know, they were taking those and then just taking it on, you know, with the technology they've got now to create that expansive world. It just looked beautiful.
Well, I think functionally, though, what's going to save them as far as profitability on the Wii U is going to be that Akimbo line of figures that they're doing, because I mean, like Skylanders, for mm-hmm. instance, which is multi-platform, which is out for the Wii U, mm-hmm. you know, and everybody else, where you take your little figure and you put it on the thing and your figure goes into the game. I mean, that's a fantastic idea, and you know, Akimbo is just that with Nintendo characters, and also the ability to use the console to get your figure into the, you know, your existing controller and stuff, to get the figures into the game, so you can just buy the figures, you don't have to worry about buying a portal. I thought that was pretty sweet, you know.
And the Smash Brothers thing with you can put your Miis into Smash Brothers, that mm-hmm. was cool, because they had the sort of the Nintendo execs fighting it out.
Yeah, it was Reggie and the guy who couldn't make it last year for helping, Satoru Iwata, I think his name. Yeah, he couldn't make it, and so they did the whole Smash Brothers battle. That was something you don't see at the
companies. It's also earnest and chin scratching at the other ones, but you know, as soon as I saw the opening of the Nintendo conference, it just had a smile on my face pretty much from beginning to end. It's like, oh yeah, we're in this for the games, because games are fun.
It was cool, and then they had all the little videos made by the robot chicken guy. So I mean, you know, it was a really interesting presentation. Again, I think it seems like, I mean, I'm sure Todd and people like that will give grades and rate, you know, who they think did the best. But I think every company this year, like last year, last year was kind of a unique situation. I think last Sony, pretty much everybody came in needing to do the same thing, and Sony was the only one that did it. I think this year, all three companies they're all embattled. I mean, none of them are like, you know, doing great. And all three of them came in needing to do something different. And I think all three of them achieved the goal that they set out to. Microsoft had to show that it's gaming, and it did that. You know, Sony had to be able to expand its market and show other stuff besides just games, without ignoring games, but showing other stuff that they could do, and they did that. And Nintendo had to come in and say, hey, we're still here, and we've got some really amazing, fun stuff, and we're still kind of offbeat, and, you know, we're still a valid thing.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I think they are all in different kind of places and needed to appease different people. And I think Microsoft had the most appeasing to do, but
I think Microsoft did have the most ground to cover, but I think that they covered the most ground.
I think they did it well. They did. They just did back-to-back games. That's what they needed to do. Stop messing about.
I think
mucking about and give us some games.
I think everybody will be pretty happy with what how things worked out. You know, I think everybody got everything they wanted, but and I think the biggest disappointment for all three companies and for all gamers is how many titles got pushed back to 2015. I mean, you know, this year is like kind of the year of the next year is going to be the thing. You know, I don't know. I mean, there's some good stuff coming out this year, but it seems like a lot of the mega stuff you're going to have to wait.
It always takes a while.
New consoles.
It takes a while, but it seems to be pretty slow this generation to.
I wonder how much of that is having to program for the current generation and the next gen. Like, you know, like you got to have a game come out and it's got to work on the PlayStation 3 and the PlayStation 4. Uh-huh. It's got to work on the 360 and the Xbox One.
Slowing
you know,
everything. I don't know.
So we'll see. At least Nintendo seems to be able to just concentrate on the Wii U. I mean, do they still make Wii?
I suppose it gives indie games some space to just, you know, fill in those slack periods, you know.
Yeah, and who knows? I mean, like with No Man's Sky, we may come up with an indie title that rivals the AAA stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Everybody is talking about that.
Yeah. It just looks amazing. I don't know. Was there wasn't a date on that? There was there.
No, it had been announced at GDC. it didn't get as big a stage, but so they've been working on it. I don't know, and I believe it's not exclusive to PlayStation. I don't think it's going to come out on the Xbox, but I believe it is also coming out on the PC, which makes sense because I think it's rendered and created on the PC. I think so. I mean, you know, it's obviously it's PC type technology, procedurally generated worlds and stuff like that.
I mean, that's the only annoying thing about the conferences is it's just really, they really obfuscate, you know, what is exclusive with all these weird terms and, you just, it's like, so is that on Xbox 2? Is that on PlayStation? Or is, you know, especially with the indie games, you don't know what's exclusive because they use that weird term, first to console exclusive launch. A console debut, that's what they call it, isn't it? Exclusive console debut. It's like, which means we just get it first and then everybody else gets it.
Yeah, I think those are kind of worthless. Yeah. I think even if you really, really want the game, you're not going to go out and buy another console just so you can play it a week before you can play it, you know? So, and I also think the sort of, you know, the hats and all that junk is not really that much of an incentive either. I mean, but yeah, I don't know. If you can get an exclusive game and it's a good game like Microsoft did with Titanfall, you know, that's pretty freaking amazing for you. You know, that can make your console.
Naughty Dog on Sony pretty much.
And Naughty Dog,
they pretty much, you know, have a loyal following because of that. So, and the same with Halo. Although maybe Halo not so much these days, but in its heyday.
Yeah, I don't know. I think people were pretty excited to see the Halo stuff. So I mean,
by the end of the Bungie era of Halo, it had kind of, you know, other things had taken over, hadn't they?
Destiny. Yeah.
Well, and like Gears of War kind of stole its crown for a while, didn't it?
Oh, I see. Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't mention anything about Gears of War. That was the one I was kind of. I know there's hardcore fans of Gears of War. I'm even reading the Gears of War books, which are really, they're pretty good. I've never played the game, but I like the books. So.
And of course, there was no mention of Last Guardian, which we're still waiting. We're still waiting for, but they still keep professing that it is coming, but it didn't get a look in at Sony at E3 this year.
No.
So.
No, I was waiting for a Game of Thrones title to come out. Someone that would rock if anybody could actually do that. All right, Shell. Well, thank you so much for joining me today for this extra long version of The Gin Lounge. Well, we had to cover three conferences. That's the way it always is. So, back to E3. I just got an email from Lisa. She's out on the show floor right now, going to all her meetings. So we'll be interested to see, what she has to say about the show this year after meeting with all the development teams.
Cool.
All right. Well, take care, everybody. You can join us here at GameIndustry.com. You can find us on Twitter at Gin Lounge. Easy enough to find. We're on Facebook at GameIndustry.com at Facebook.com/GameIndustry, and we're on Google Plus. And we have our own area at Google Plus now. So we're not 17559 or whatever. We're actually Game Industry. You can find us there. Very cool. And we're on Pinterest. So I'm sure a lot of the photos and stuff that will be coming out at E3 we'll have there. So enjoy us anywhere and any way you like. Until next time, Shella, thanks again.
Thank
you. And we'll be looking forward to actually playing some good games this year, and looks like we'll be talking about some of this stuff next year. All right, take care, everyone. See you next time.